tonight's class in Pele Yoetz is addressing a topic called Hilul. Hilul is praise. And we're going to try to figure out the significance of praise.
Shemach.
Shemach. Otherwise known as Hilul or Hallel. Ra'ui l'Hallel Hashem. One should praise God. Literally sing His praises. Al kol ha'tovah she'oseh imanu. For all the good things that He bestows upon us. V'af, and even though she'ilu finu mole shira, even if our mouths were full of praise, excellent, nishmas, lo naspik lahalilo, we cannot really do a good, adequate job and praise God. V'lo dumya tehila, he's quoting here a pasuk in Tehillim, that maybe it would be better dumya. Dumya means silent. You know, why start something that you can't finish? What good is it? He says, I'll call upon him nevertheless, below klumi efsha. You can't say, I'm not going to start and not praise God. You have to recognize and appreciate what God gave you. And you have to express that gratitude, even though clearly you'll never succeed. You'll never really, you know, cover your bases, so to speak. V'ra'ui l'chol adam, it's befitting for every man. May ace li ace, from time to time, mipkida lipkida, once every so often, lahudot ulhalel et Hashem, to sing the praises and express that gratitude to God. So for tonight, our subject, our study is going to be on this concept of appreciating God. Some people have to appreciate God because everything is good in their lives. For other people, there's more of a challenge. Sometimes if we appreciate God, it will give us a boost. It'll uplift us. It'll inject us with happiness and joy because we appreciate even the limited amount of things that God gave us. Some people suffer and yet they still feel that they don't deserve all the goodness. Those are very lofty, high-level people. But one thing is clear from the Pele Yoetz, it's common to everyone that we share this obligation and this responsibility to appreciate God. And even though we know, we recognize that we'll never fully, and as we said before, adequately praise God, but we still have to do whatever we can. We're going to start here with a pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Yisro. You will recall, of course, Yisro, as the father-in-law of Moshe, comes after he hears about the great miracles of the splitting of the sea, of the destruction of Amalek, and perhaps even the giving of the Torah. In any event, Yisro comes to visit his son-in-law, and what happens is, the Torah describes, Vayisaper Moshe lechotno, Moshe tells the story to his father-in-law, Et kol asher asa Hashem leparo leMitzrayim, all that occurred, and Hashem bringing about the salvation, the redemption of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim from Paro, Al odot Yisrael, regarding Israel. We're going to study now the Mishmeres Eliezer of Shol Brach. He wants to understand why the three words are added here. They seem to be absolutely superfluous. At the end of this verse, it says, Al odot Yisrael, regarding Israel. Well, that's unnecessary. We know it's regarding Israel. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling his father-in-law about Yitziat Mitzrayim, it must be regarding Israel. Why add these three words, Al Odot Yisrael? Now, in order to answer this question, you know, sometimes a good Jew will ask another question, and a second question will help you with the first question. I don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu has to tell a story to Yisro. The Torah says that the reason why Yisro came is because he heard the whole story. Was he adding details, perhaps? Let's read it inside. Yesh lafli, we should be very surprised. Al Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom. Le'eze tachlit siper zelechatno. For what purpose? What was his goal in telling this story to his father? Halo kvar ktiv. It already is written. B'tchilat biyato, when Yitro came, Vayishma Yitro, he, Yitro, heard et kol asher asalu kim l'moshe l'Yisrael amo. He heard everything. That's what it says in the verse. And that's why he came. He heard about all the great miracles that God brought about to redeem the people of Israel from Mitzrayim. V'im kein kvar yoda Yitro et kol advarim. Yitro was already aware of all this. Terem bo'o, before he came, and that's why he came. Uma husif Moshe Rabbeinu b'sipuro. What did Moshe Rabbeinu add in the story?
He confirmed it.
Maybe he confirmed it. Maybe he added some details. Maybe he embellished it. But again, you would wonder why the Torah has to emphasize that. So we have two questions. Not only does the Torah emphasize that Moshe Rabbeinu sat down with Yitro and he told him the whole story about the Yeshua, about the great salvation, which apparently is superfluous because the pasuk testifies that Yisro heard the whole story and that's why he came. And secondly, why add these three words, Alodot Yisrael?
Which means?
Which means regarding Israel. Of course it was regarding Israel. What else was the story of Mitzrayim about? Was it about some other nation? So this seems to be like an entire verse here that's superfluous and very, very ambiguous.
How long ago did Rabbi Yisrael?
Rav Shaul, he's still alive today, as far as I know.
Oh, yes. Who's still alive today?
The author of this piece called Mishmeret Eliezer. Now, what we're about to embark upon is a very creative presentation, really insightful, and I think it'll give us a, you know, something to take to the Seder on Pesach. Now, you know, we're getting close to Pesach, and what I'd like to do with you tonight is that part of Peleoitz that bears upon Pesach. And this concept of Hallel, of singing the songs and praises of God and appreciating the gratitude for Hashem, is very central. It's a major motif in the night of the Seder. But here I think it expands and gives us another dimension. He says the following. There's a paragraph in the Haggadah, maybe you'll remember it, that goes the following. Afilu kulanu chachamim, even if we're all great scholars, kulanus kainim, we belong to the elders, kulanu nevonim, we're brilliant, kulanu yodim es haTorah, we know the Torah. Nevertheless, mitzvah aleinu lesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim. We have a mitzvah of sipur, of telling the story. Now, once again, we just saw that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the whole story to Yitro. And now we're talking about telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, even though we're all scholars and we're all very well familiar with the story. Nevertheless, the Torah commands us in the midst of Sipur. And immediately after we recite that paragraph, there's another paragraph that follows suit, in which the great scholars of that generation were having a communal seder in Bnei Brak. They were speaking about Yetzias Mitzrayim during the entire night, until finally the students told them it's time to recite Kriyat Shema. So Larry, if you want to follow the text, you have it there, you see it?
Okay.
So we're up to the second paragraph, which is on the right side, and we're about halfway through the paragraph. And he says that the Sfarim want to know, well, what's the point, what's the purpose of telling this story that we know so well? Again, we're talking to the scholars, and we're talking about a gathering of the great Tanoim, Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Akiva and so forth. What is within, In Yiddish, we say "Vos lichtem dem sipur." What's inherent in that story? There's something more profound here to justify and explain the reason why we're telling a story that we know so well. And here's the breakthrough. And if you want, you can underline these words, because I think it's a major revolutionary. I think it'll change our whole attitude towards the Seder of Pesach. Hakavana. It means the Al Yedesha Mesaprim Chazde Hashem Vituvo Aleinu. As a result of us telling the story of the great Chesed of Hashem and the goodness that He bestowed upon us, Bazeh Sipur, as a result of this telling the story, Mamshichim Chasodim V'Yeshuos Chadoshos Al Yisrael, we are able to, so to speak, draw forth from the heavens more and more chesed. By describing and telling the story of God's chesed, we are bringing down even more chesed. By describing God's Yeshua, that God saved us and spared us and redeemed us, we are bringing down from heaven Yeshua's chadashos, new salvations for Israel. In other words, there's an ongoing process. Just as the Jews in Mitzrayim needed a great Yeshua, so do we today, and throughout Jewish history, we need a great Yeshua. What is the key, so to speak? Is there a button that we can press, some sort of secret code that we could press in that will bring down chasodim in our time as well? I'm now contemporary, I need...
Bring down what?
Bring down chasodim. I don't know how to translate the word chesed. Chesed is a very strange word.
Righteousness?
No, I think it means goodness, it means kindness, it means anything that you benefit from, you're in need. Gemilut chasadim. We can ask for divine chesed, but when we ask and we pray and we supplicate for divine chesed, we don't yet have that power. We need a certain, we call it a school of power, you know, a secret code. And God gives us now the secret code. The secret code is by telling and describing the chasadim, the great miracles that God did for us. In this case, in Mitzrayim, we're bringing down from the heavens chesed.
So basically, when you think about it and when you talk about it with great energy, you create it again.
Correct, exactly. You are recreating that chesed. For now, you know, you are now going to bring down something that we need so desperately. And how? What's the key here? There's some sort of mystical, if you will, or metaphysical mechanics. And the metaphysical mechanics is that if we describe the chesed of Hashem, Hashem says, wow, you appreciate my chesed? I'm going to bring you more chesed. It's an amazing process.
A rarest mitzvah. You know, one thing.
Yeah, that one thing leads to another. God says, you know, you're talking about my tovos, you appreciate it, it didn't go by unnoticed, I'm going to bring you back more chesed and more tovos.
It's the same thing with everything.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with people as well.
If I describe how much I appreciate what you did for me, you're motivated, so to speak, to do more for me, right?
Same thing with everything. The more you talk about things with energy, the more you create it.
So that's what we're saying now, that the idea of Sipur, when you're singing God's praises, it's not to notify people and teach them something that they don't know. This is not an educational process.
Yeah.
The purpose of the five Tanoim sitting together at the Seder in Bnei Brak, the purpose of Kulonu Chacham, Kulonu Zkenim, Kulonu Yosef Torah, Mitzvah Leinu L'Sapir, that's not educational. I'm not informing. I'm not transmitting new ideas that you never heard of. When Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisro about the great miracles, Yisro was well aware of that. The Pasuk testifies explicitly that Yisro knew and he heard about all the great things that Hashem did. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu telling him? The answer is every opportunity that we have to talk and to express our gratitude, describe the greatness of Hashem and the Tov that he did, is an opportunity to bring down more chesed.
More and more.
It's an amazing power.
Can it be a soliloquy? In other words, if there's just one person, must you have an audience, or can he just express it? Like,
it could be, but the greater the audience, I think the more of an impact it's going to have.
But I'm asking you specifically, let's say there's a situation where a person is alone.
Alone. Correct. So, I'm saying that would also fit in.
If he expresses himself,
absolutely.
So must he have...
absolutely. But again, in an ideal sense, you know, if you tell it over and it takes on, you know, like a... You know, when you throw a stone into a river, you get ripple effects, and it widens and it broadens. If you know, if you tell a certain group of people, and they'll tell other people, and then before you know it, you know, so many people are singing the Hallel of Hashem. Remember the title of tonight's essay of Peleoitz is Hallel, is singing the songs of praise. He now quotes a Gemara in Chulin on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. And the Gemara says the following: if you do something good for someone who doesn't recognize it, it's like throwing a stone, you know, over a cliff. Meaning, it's meaningless. You want to give something good to someone who appreciates it. If he doesn't appreciate it, you're not really motivated to bestow goodness on him.
My grandmother had a saying, she said, for that she'd rather feed one hungry person than 10 that weren't.
Right.
They appreciate it.
Right. If that one person, hopefully, will appreciate it. Look, we want appreciation. We don't want to just give. No, how do I pay you? How do I pay you for the kindness you did for me? You know, sometimes a person receives kindness. It's invaluable. It's priceless. You know, he saves you at a very critical moment. He gets you a job when you need one. And no matter how much you want to pay the person, it's not something that you can pay in money. You know, you could write a big fat check if you're rich, but that's not the way you could pay back. To some extent, is by appreciating. I know what you did for me. It was great. I can't thank you enough. And I sing the song of praise. And the Gemara says in Chulin, if you give someone something good and he doesn't appreciate it, he doesn't recognize it, it's like it's meaningless. Therefore, he says Moshe Rabbeinu is not telling Yisro anything new. Yisro heard it all. But nevertheless, this was an opportunity to do Sipur, to get involved in describing all the details of the Maisa Chesed, the great things that Hashem did for us. And therefore, what Moshe Rabbeinu's purpose was, Ki Ratza B'Sipuro, his object was not Yisro, because Yisro knew it all, but rather, Lahamshich Hasodim Chadoshim Al Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was doing it on behalf of the people of Israel. V'zeu shomer, that's what the pasuk means. V'yisaper Moshe l'chosno. Moshe tells his father-in-law, Eskol asher asa Hashem l'paro, everything that Hashem did to Paro l'mitzrayim. And ukedesh lo yikshah, but now, you know, you'll ask the question, so what is the purpose? L'ezeh tachlit siper Moshe zel Yitro. Since Yitro was already like Kulon Chacham, Kulon Yodim, so what's the point? Therefore, the Torah adds three words: Al Odot Yisrael. Do you remember the question that we had? Why did the Torah add those three words that seem superfluous? Al Odot Yisrael. Of course, we're talking about Israel. Who are we talking about now? You know, the nation that left Mitzrayim, the nation that received all this goodness and redemption. That's so. What's Al Odot Yisrael? Ah, he says, brilliant. He says, Al Odot Yisrael means, you know why I'm telling you this story? For the purpose of Israel. For the benefit of Israel. The people of Israel will benefit by my telling you the story. Why? Ki ratzal lativ b'sipuro zeh im Yisrael. As a result of telling this story and singing the praise of God, he would bring about goodness for Israel. Why? By describing the great chesed of Hashem, you bring about more chesed for Israel. And that's what it means, Al Odot Yisrael, for the benefit of Israel. So it's not that about Israel, or it's not that it was done for Israel in the past, but for the benefit of Israel, I am going, says Moshe, I'm going to tell you the story in all its grandeur and all its great details. Now take a look in the Haggadah. In the Haggadah it says that afilu kulanu chacham, kulanu zkeidim, kulanu yodu sator, mitzvah aleinu lesaper. What is the word aleinu? Aleinu literally means on us. He says, Havilei lememri, could have said, mitzvah lanu lesaper. What's aleinu lesaper? The answer is, the purpose and the agenda of this sipur is aleinu. Aleinu means upon us. We want God to bring upon us more chesed, more miracles, and save Klal Yisrael. That's aleinu lesaper. So my friends, you know, in, what is it, 3.5 weeks, I don't know what it is, we're going to get to the Seder in the midst of Sipur and telling the story. And this, excuse me, this paragraph gives us a whole new perspective on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, Shivim Panim LaTorah, the Torah has 70 different dimensions. Every single thing can be seen from different perspectives. This is a brand new idea, a brand new perspective. And again, it's not limited just to the night of the Seder. I don't want you to think that the significance of this breakthrough, I call it this revolution, is only for the night of the Seder. This is a breakthrough that has an impact on us the whole year round. We have opportunities galore in every step of our lives. You know, we wake up in the morning, we breathe, we open our eyes, we get out of bed, we can say, Moda'ani, Hichzar Tabi Nishmasi, we can say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Notein Layoif Koach, I didn't have energy, I slept, now I wake up, I'm refreshed. There are so many things we can thank Hashem for, the oxygen that we breathe, the food that we eat. These are all opportunities for Sipur HaChesed. And the Sipur HaChesed, by telling the Chesed of Hashem, will bring about more Chesed, because Hashem feels that if we recognize and appreciate His Chesed, it's worth giving the people of Israel Chesed.
It's endless. It's endless for what you can thank Him for.
It's endless. And we'll never be able to finish the job. But we have to start. And we have to do the best we can. And for me personally, this paragraph that we just read is very, very important for me. It gives me a whole new perspective. I don't know if I can convey to you my passion, my excitement about this paragraph. It really has a tremendous impact. The more you appreciate chesed, the more you'll get chesed. And that's what the Sipur is all about. Let's move on to discuss where chesed comes from. In Nishmas, which we quoted before, it says, Hamahulal Berov HaTishpachot. And Rav Yaakov Emdin, who lived about 5 centuries ago, he says, Beribui Tishpachot. Ribui means manifold. We multiply the Tishpachot, the songs of praise of God. We're looking now at a sefer called Eved LaMelech, a commentary on the Torah. And he comments on a Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says that when the butler comes to pour wine, then we should express gratitude not only for the host whose wine we're drinking, but also for the butler who's pouring the wine. Ikar Ayayin, I mean, the fact that I'm able to drink this wine is who shall balabai it. It's because of the host who owns the wine that the butler is bringing me to drink. Bikomakom. Nevertheless, the Gemara is pointing out, machzikin tivu, so we have to express our gratitude. Gam l'shaike. Shaike is the butler who pours the wine. Shal yado, because he brought the wine. He really served me. Pshita, he says, the Gemara didn't have to point out shemachzikim tova gedol balayayin atzmo. How much gratitude do I have for the host who's giving me his wine? He's allowing me to drink expensive, fancy wine, you know, special vintage. For all that was understood. In Yiddish, we say upgaret. That was upgaret. I didn't have to tell you that you owe a debt of gratitude to he who owns the wine and feeds you the wine. But we might miss out on the butler. Lahorot lanu litnaya kishemagia lenu ezutova shehi, even al yidei shlucho. Here, the butler is really just a shaliach. How would you translate a shaliach into English?
A shaliach is like a messenger.
Messenger.
Deliverer.
Can I add another word? I don't know, whichever word you like, it's up to you. I like the word agent. Huh? He's like an agent, an agency. Yeah. He's like an extended arm. Whatever word you like. The butler is now the agent of the balabayit. He's bringing you the wine of the balabayit. You have to appreciate not only the mishaleach, the one who sent him, meaning the owner, you have to even appreciate the shaliach, who actually brought you the wine. And this is a religious, ethical principle that touches on our relationship to God and to His creatures.
But you have to be careful of avodah zarah.
Yeah, I'm not saying you should bow down to him. I'm just saying appreciate him.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's all I meant.
Yes.
I didn't mean chashom to idolize.
It's an extension of the hostess.
Yeah. Yeah. Last night I was at a wedding and there was some, I thought it was idol worship. my son married a dambi, so the dambi's married off a granddaughter or a daughter, whichever generation. So the chassan at this wedding last night is a great famous singer. Anyway, so the key performer at this wedding last night was, maybe you heard of him, Mordechai Ben David, who flew from America to come for this wedding, supposedly. So when you see the idol worship, I mean, people were jumping at the opportunity to get a picture with him and stuff like that. I just enjoyed his music. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just expressing. Now again, if you ask me, everything that I have in life, where does it come from?
Hashem.
But there are many shluchim. There are many messengers, as you call it, or as agents, as I like to call it. We have to express our gratitude, that's the ethical principle here, not just to God, and that's what we discussed until now, but we have to break out of that and even expand our scope of gratitude. He says, Yesh shluchav shel makom. There are many shluchim of the makom. Makom means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nachzik lehem tivusa. We have to express our gratitude to them as well. They were chosen to be the shluchim. Can anybody think of any examples?
What a shliach is?
No. I mean, can you give me an example of someone who bestows goodness upon you and, he is really an agent of God and therefore you have to recognize and appreciate him as well?
Your boss?
Maybe your boss is paying your salary.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Moshe Rabbeinu, led us out of Mitzrayim.
Correct. Well, let's say, for example, I'm trying to give it in a contemporary sense. Maybe if your boss pays you salary, that's number one. Number two, maybe you have to recognize those who provide the food, meaning God is ultimately providing, but he has to send shluchim, the farmers, and then the people who bring it to market, and then the supermarket, and they organize the food, and you get the food. Or for example, if you're a guest at someone's table, as we discussed before in the case of Yayin, if the butler is there, there's so many people that you can recognize and appreciate, and they are all basically shluchim shel makom. So the Gemara says...
The hospital staff,
excellent. The nurses, the doctors,
the post office,
those who clean the hospital. The hospital has to be tidied up, otherwise...
I was cleaning the street. I was on the street the other day, and it was overflowing, and like four guys got out to clean up this whole
Clean day. Up, or the rubbish, you ever see the way they collect the rubbish? I mean, sometimes those things are overflowing, they're coming out. So we have to realize that Hashem has many shluchim. He sends many different messages. And just like the Gemara says that you have to appreciate the butler, even though he's not giving you the wine... It was upgrade. I didn't have to tell you. You have to appreciate the host. So he says the following: Al yedei zed nizker lahavin lahavin lahokir tovasan shall nos ein amiti. If we appreciate the shluchim, and they're just meeting out or messages the long arm of Hashem, how much more so do we have to appreciate Hashem? And that's what the Gemara says, call a kofer b'tovasa shel chavero. If a person is an ingrate, then sofo lichpar b'tovasa shel makom. At the end of the day, he's going to be an ingrate even to God. If you don't appreciate man and what man does for you, then how much more so you're not going to appreciate God as well. And therefore, the key of keys to have a relationship with God and appreciate God is that you appreciate everyone. Everyone is doing any sort of shlichut. He's the messenger of God. He's bringing you the goodness. He's the butler who's pouring the wine.
And that's the key to everything.
And that's the extent of appreciation. And again, if you appreciate man for what he does for you, you'll ultimately appreciate God. And that's the you know, Adam HaRishon was the first ingrate in history. So being an ingrate goes back pretty early in the history of man. Ha'isha shenasata imodi. You know, instead of thanking God for giving you a wife, he says, oh, this woman, she was the one who brought me to sin in the Eitz HaDaat. So if we go back now to the Yavetz that we mentioned early, we said, Havahulo berov ha-tishpachos, beribui tishpachos. Ribui means going beyond. Ribui means expanding. Instead of limiting your expression of gratitude just to God, you have to broaden it to the shluchim of God, even those who are the facilitators and give you the goodness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu meshayer mishvacho sheyitnu shvach gam lebnei adam sheosim lo tova. God, in a sense, shares the praise that is due to him with others who also will share in that praise, because they're the ones who are the shluchim, they do the tova, and Hashem is very happy that you appreciate the shluchim. Now we're going to continue in the Pele Yoetz, and we're still on the topic of Hallel, but here we are moving into a much higher gear, so to speak. And he says the following. You'll find this on the bottom, on the right column. What about a person who never suffers in life?
You never what?
Suffers. All of us suffer. No, there's nothing, you know, that's perfect. So a person, afilim yeshlo yisurim, nevertheless, he says, yeshlo lahal Hashem. Why? Why am I praising God if I'm suffering? That seems antithetical. It seems almost masochistic.
Maybe you're suffering because you didn't thank God.
Correct. And even more so, he says, Shaziko, that Hashem gave man a very unique opportunity. Why do I thank Hashem for Yisurim? Why is suffering a unique opportunity?
Oh, you thank him for Yisurim?
Yeah, for the Yisurim.
Oh, okay, as opposed to thanking him despite Yisurim.
Right, for the Yisurim. Why? Sheziko. Ziko means, you know, he gave him he won the lottery. And why is Yisurim a lottery? He says, because he's included now in Asher Yehav Hashem Yochiach. It means that God, by giving us Yisurim, is offering us an opportunity to get closer to him, to purify. It's a cathartic experience that brings to kapara, to atonement. She'enu mechlal meshalim lesonov. It's not that God despises us. That's not the way I receive Yisurim. I receive and accept suffering because I say that es asher yehav Hashem, that God gives me yochiach. Yochiach in this case means the Yisurim. God, so to speak, rebukes me and castigates me by bringing these Yisurim because he loves me. And this is for my benefit. V'shalo Yisro b'Yisurim yoser koshe umarim. Maybe God could have brought even worse suffering upon myself. Ki hu rachum b'din. That God in his justice was compassionate. So there's so many dimensions to suffering that could lead a person to be mahal Hashem, to thank Hashem. The Gemara says in Brachos that if you have a shmur raw, you heard something very bad, then you should say Baruch Dayan Emes. You have to thank Hashem. Mm. So let's take a look at perhaps what's the first experience in Jewish history of suffering. Anybody know what I have in mind? Mitzrayim. What is the first Mitzrayim, exactly? The first major communal suffering of Klal Yisrael that extended almost two centuries and more.
First communal suffering?
of communal suffering, meaning the community of Israel. You know that Mitzrayim was no picnic. I don't
you
have to
what?
Tell you. Mitzrayim was not a picnic. You know that.
It was Zahana.
Not a picnic. You familiar with that phrase? Maybe that's only...
No, they what?
No, not a picnic. Zahana. In New York. Maybe that's a New York phrase.
Sounds like a picnic to me.
Yeah, but you know, the flip side of it is Avodat Parech and Vayartziv Lotam.
Right, but the food. But they had good food there.
Yeah, they had good vegetables at least. I don't know.
And fish.
And some fish. So here we want to study, which is number 6 on your page, an insight of the Beis HaLevi. He was the Rav in Brisk, and he says the following: the word "us," Aleph Zion, two letters, means two different things in the book of Shmos, the second of the 5 books of Moses. Moshe Rabbeinu was sent to Paro in order to let my people go. Does anybody remember what happens initially in stage 1?
Paro makes it worse.
Exactly. Paro makes it worse. And Moshe comes in front of the Lord with a claim, with a taina, with a complaint. And he says, may us, from the moment that I came in to see Paro, the situation deteriorated. And the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to do tshuva, in order to be, he was penitent for that sin of us, he used the same word us in a different way. And what's that us? Oz Yashir Moshe.
Oz what?
Oz Yashir Moshe. I need a microphone tonight. So I see that I'm...
No.
My voice is going on me real fast. And my wife always warns me, don't scream, you're going to lose your voice. My voice is very shaky.
You need to drink cold, hot?
No, I don't think so. Maybe hot water could help. I don't know. Thanks, Larry.
No, it's my ear. My ear is watering.
Right. But your water is cold water. I need hot water.
Well, if you're going to get hot water,
I'll get hot water. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Oz Yashir Moshe. What does it mean, Oz Yashir Moshe? And this is the key to understand the tshuva of Moshe, the tikkun of Moshe. Shebe'esha Yisrael Begolus, during the great, long exile of the Jewish people in Egypt, thank you so much. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand the nature of the suffering. Lo haven is hanhoga zu. Why are the Jewish people suffering so much for a period of 2 centuries in Mitzrayim? Lo haven is hatachlis. He didn't understand what's the purpose, what's the goal of koshi hashibud, the difficult suffering. V'eich me'agolus gufa yotzei kvod shamayim. After all, God's purpose in the universe is there should be kvod shamayim. There should be glory of God. How does the suffering of the Jewish people bring about the glory of God? And therefore Moshe comes with a complaint. May oz basi el paro, lama hariyosa lama zeh shlachtani. Why did you send me and I become the conduit to bring about the suffering of Klal Yisrael? That's kvod shamayim. So now Moshe Rabbeinu makes a tikkun. And he recites oz yashir. And says the Beis HaLevi, what's the greatness of Oz Yashir? Ki Akshav Omar Shira La Golus Gufa. This is an amazing chiddush. You might want to underline those words. The Shira, the song of praise, is not just for the Geula, for the redemption, but it's also on the Golus, on the exile itself. Ki L'mafreya, now retroactively, Haven, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to appreciate, Eich, how is it that Kol Agzeros, all the decrees against the Jewish people, Hayu Litovasam Shel Bnei Yisrael. So now we're seeing something unbelievable. We're saying that not only do we sing the praise of God for that which is obviously good, you know, the obvious chesed that God bestows and showers on us, but even for something that seems to be evil and brings suffering upon us, even that is cause for Oz Yashir. The Shira is not just on the goodness, but the Shira is even on the Gzeros and the tough very rough decrees and the suffering of the Jewish people. That's also included in the Shira. The ultimate Shira is L'mafreya, is on all the suffering, that all the suffering are parts of a whole, that pieces of a puzzle that creates one entity of goodness. And once you have that clairvoyance, you know, that clarity of vision, then you can recite a Shira even on the Gzeros, even on the Ra. That's the tikkun of the Oz Yashir.
That's the secret of the word Oz?
The tikkun. Tikkun meaning fixing up with the word Oz. You remember that Moshe sinned with the word Oz because he had complaints and questions on God.
But what does that mean? You said there are two meanings.
One meaning of Oz is, from the moment I came, everything's been downhill. The other meaning of Oz is that I recognize Oz at this point, everything that led to this point, even those bumps along the way, even the suffering, Oz. Now I can sing the song of praise. That's the tikkun.
Sure, it all leads you where you're going.
Correct. So that's a new idea, and I think it really enhances and embellishes what we saw in the Peleoids. Now, I'd like to show you something in Rabbeinu Yonah. You know, Rabbeinu Yonah wrote a book on tshuva. It's a classic called the Shari Tshuva. And he writes that if a sinner suffers and he's able to accept God's judgment, that's called Tzidduk HaDin, and to accept the Musar that Hashem is sending him, you know, Musar meaning the rebuke, bi'ava, and he accepts it with love, that will protect him from ribu yisurim, from a worse or an increase in his suffering, which he may deserve. So even though he was deserved of a massive amount of suffering as punishment, Hashem says if you accepted the first stage, you know, whatever limited amount of suffering he experienced, and you accepted that bi'ava, and you took it as love, and you took it as an opportunity for tshuva and kapara and so forth, then God says, I can cut down the amount of yisurim that you were meant and you deserve to suffer. And it's very fascinating how we can weave this into two psukim. One is in Yeshayahu HaNavi, and the other is in Sefer Tehillim. The pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi says, Odcha Hashem ki anafta bi. I will sing the song of praises. I will express my gratitude because you brought me suffering. Very strange. And Yashuv apcha v'tenachameni. Your wrath was, so to speak, quieted down, placated, and this is a great nechama, this is a great comfort or a consolation. What does it mean? Odcha, I will thank you, Hashem, al musarecha, on the fact that you rebuked and castigated me by bringing me this suffering. V'kibaltiv bi'av, and I accept it with love. Ubavur zen, as a result, let's look at the last three words in the pasuk. Yashuv apcha utenachameni. Since odchal shanaftabi, since I appreciated and accepted the suffering, and I praised you, God, for straightening me out, so to speak, and meeting out this punishment, then yashuv apcha utenachameni. I now have a nechama. I now have a consolation. Why? Because you're not going to have to suffer. You're not going to have to bring upon me more suffering and more suffering. This is my consolation, that I accepted the suffering, and I got the message, and I accepted it with love, and now I corrected my wrongs, and therefore, at this point, console me by telling me, God, no more suffering. Now let's see the pasuk in Tehillim. We're talking now in Tehillim about the flip side. Not to thank Hashem ki anaftabi because of the suffering that I endured, but rather thanking Hashem for the tov, the good things, the chesed that you bestowed upon me. Here too we have a message. Odcha li olam ki asisa Vakaveshimcha ki tov neged chasidecha. It means Od chalatova shasisa imadi. I will praise you and express gratitude for all the goodness you've bestowed upon me. Ubavur zeh, and as a reward for my expressing my appreciation and singing your songs of praise, akaveh lasmodas tovasecha. I am hoping and I'm looking forward, anticipating even more chesed and more tova. So if you recognize tova and chesed and you appreciate that, you'll get more good and more tova. And that's what we saw, if you remember back in the Mishmeres Eliezer that we started with. But you know, in history, the Jewish people were not very wealthy. And in many situations, certainly, my father tells me about his youth in Lithuania, where he was brought up, Jews were very, very poor. My grandmother supported the family with goat's milk. They had a goat and they sold the milk. You can imagine how wealthy they must have been. We have one picture that survived from the town of Plisa, where my father came from, and the house that he lived in. It was less than the log cabin of Abe Lincoln. I mean, it was just literally a couple of pieces of wood together.
The rub said that in Kaslovich, pasta, noodles was a delicacy. That's what he said in one of his hearings.
Yeah. So in number 8, which you have to turn your page a little bit on the side, Rav Shach tells he had a moment of nostalgia. He came from Lithuania, and he tells a little bit about his youth, what he remembers growing up, and how much the Jews suffered. He said that a Jew had to eke out a living in order to get a piece of bread to eat for himself and his family. It was very, very tough. The Goyim had it much easier. Why? Because the Goyim didn't have to have shechita, so they didn't have to spend money for a shochet and for all the kashering and so forth and so on. They didn't have to spend money to build a mikveh. If they found that an animal was a treifah, it wasn't a healthy animal, that wasn't a problem, they could still eat the meat or sell it on the market. For a Jew, it was much more difficult back in the old country to eke out a living. L'goy ha'yelo lul mishalo, par mishalo. In most cases, a guy owned his own chicken coop with chickens in it. He had his own cow. But the average Jew didn't have any of that. Ha'yitzorch liknos hakol. If he wanted to have chicken, he would have to buy a chicken. If he wanted meat, he would have to buy the meat. He would pay a great deal, a significant sum of money for shochet, for kosher food, and so forth and so on. But ubechol zot, I don't know if you're following the text inside, this is the punchline. It starts with the words ubechol zot. And maybe we'll close the door. It would make it a little easier for me, less of a strain on my voice. He says ubechol zot, lo haisa ayora, there wasn't a single shtetl, shelo hayuba hachnosis orchim. Unbelievable. People were poor as church mouse, and yet they would invite guests in. Linas HaTzedek. Meaning there was a whole group in every city called the Linas HaTzedek. They would invite guests in, make sure that every guest was taken care of. I wish today we had it like they had it back in the old country. Gemilus Chasadim. People would extend themselves on behalf of others, even though they didn't have anything for themselves. When Shabbos would come around, the Jew, after working so hard the entire week, he would take a bath before Shabbos, he would go to shul, and when he came back, and he was escorted by the Malachi Ashares, by the heavenly angels, he was a king in his house. He sat down next to the Shabbos table. He sang Shalom Aleichem. He was the king. His wife was the queen. And his children would sit around them at the table. Ochel rav lo hayalehem. They didn't have much to eat. It was very meager. Ach b'ma'at shahayu, but with whatever limited amount of food they have, hayu musharim, they felt fortunate and lucky, and they thanked Hashem. La'yeladim haya hayu abba ve'ima. The children had a father and a mother to look up to get close to have warmth and love from. Lohurim hayu yiladim, and the parents had children. This was the glory of Israel, that a Jew, no matter how poor he was, he felt like a king, felt like a queen, appreciated whatever God gave them. And again, you know, people could look at the negative side, you know, Nebuch, he's poor, what does he have to eat? The house is cold. But they could also look at the positive side. They could appreciate what God gave them. Children, happiness, a Shabbos table. Not everybody has that. V'kach nimshcha mesores mimos adam arishon al v'sholom ad karv l'tkuf ha-seinu. That was the mesores of Klal Yisrael. That was the glory of the tradition of Klal Yisrael. That despite the difficulties, the anguish of poverty, the challenges of bringing home a piece of bread for your family, nevertheless, a Jew could feel proud. He could feel like a king. And he appreciated being Jewish. He didn't in any way feel inferior or complain about the fact that he was a Jew. Now on this page, the last two things that I want to show you are numbers 2 and number 9. You'll see in the middle of your page, if you straighten it out, Apella Yoetz. He writes, "Ubechlal chazdei Hashem u'mishpatei Hashem yishar m'samchei lev." Included in this concept of hilul, of thanking Hashem for all the chasodim that He bestowed upon us. Shema shanu mevarchem oso mahal l'mishmo al atov v'shosi manu. If we sing God's praise and we appreciate all the goodness that He bestowed upon us, yeah, Ravlo, this is beautiful. Hashem yachshav lo l'mitzvah. God considers this a wonderful mitzvah that we express our gratitude to Hashem and we sing the Hallel. U'mekablim oleh oschar. We will be duly rewarded for praising God. Ad sha'omru shekol mi shenasa lo nes v'yom ashira. If a person feels that he experienced the miracle, God's hand, and he recites this song of praise, Hine scharo sha'osim lo nes acher. His reward will be that he'll have another ness. This is what we said over and over again tonight, that by being mesaper, the chesed of Hashem, we'll get even more chesed. Hashem says, if you recognize and you appreciate, I'll bring you more. I'll bestow more goodness upon you. And I'd like you to turn to the side of your page, and we're going to take a look at what's called the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. When a person brought his first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, he would recite a section of the Torah in Parshas Ki Tovah, which is called Mikra Bikurim. And what would he declare? Amarti, Amarta Elov, Higarti Lashem Elokecha. He begins with Haggadah. Rashi says, what does the word Haggadah mean? Haggadah doesn't just mean to tell and to speak. It doesn't mean just to transmit and to notify. Haggadah means to express tova, to express appreciation. And therefore, Marti Elov, Haggadati Ayom Lashem Kech. Rashi says, Eino Kofui Tova. He's not an ingrate. He recognizes that as a result of God's blessing, he was able to plant the field and prepare the food and prepare the fruits and so forth and then harvest them. This is all because of Hashem. And that's what Bikurim is all about. Mikra Bikurim is the most dramatic expression of Hakaras HaTov, of recognizing Hashem's hand and His goodness. And that's what Mikra Bikurim is about. And on the night of the Seder, we're going to read this parasha of Mikra Bikurim, because tonight, the night of the Seder, it's also Higadati Ayom, V'Higadat Ola Bincha, it's the same Haggadah, the same word of Hakaras HaTovah. That's what the night of the Seder is all about. That's what Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. To sing the song of God's Chesed. And as we said at the outset, that Emir Hashem will bring more Chesed for us. Now, one of the greats who passed away not long ago in Bnei Brak was Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz. And he had a very special close relationship to Yibodol HaChayim, Rav Chaim Kenevsky. And Reb Chaim went to his funeral when he died, and he went to visit the family of Rabbi Michal Yehuda Lefkovich to be Menachem Avel. And here's the story that he tells. He says, on one occasion, Rabbi Michal Yehuda came to see him to ask to borrow a certain sefer. And here's the way the story goes. Again, this is Rabbi Michal Yehuda speaking in his lifetime before he died to Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky. My father was a religious Jew, a God-fearing Jew, but he was not a Kli Kodesh. He didn't dedicate himself to Torah and to teaching Torah. He wasn't a Rav or Rosh Hashiva. He had to eke out a living. But very often, we would go in the street and he would look for opportunities when I was very young to try to give me and transmit to me Musar, so that I would have higher ambitions.
Give him what?
Musar. Musar means to try to inspire me. My father would try to inspire me. He was not a great scholar, but he wanted to inspire me to be dedicated to my Torah studies. So he would point to a certain person, and he would say to me, Ataro eh? You see this fellow? Hine hu kamoni. He's just like me. He's not a Talmud Chacham. He's working very hard as a shoemaker to bring in any sort of parnasa. But nevertheless, look at his son. His son is a Talmud Chacham. And you too, my son, even though you have a father who's not a scholar, but nevertheless, don't be laid back about it. Learn well with tremendous hasmada. Invest all your energies until you will grow to be a Talmud Chacham. And Rabbi Michal Yehuda, after he tells this story, he turns to Chaim and he says the following. That I just heard that this boy that my father would point to, who was the son of his friend who wasn't a Talmud Chacham, that this fellow published a sefer. Again, he became a great scholar and he published a sefer. The name of the sefer is Bris Eisan. I'm not familiar with the sefer. And now, says Rabbi Michal Yehuda, I would like to learn this sefer. And by learning this sefer, I will express my gratitude to him because he was instrumental in my becoming and my achieving whatever I achieved. Why was he instrumental? Because he was used as the dugma, as the example, when my father wanted to impress upon me that even if your father is not a scholar, you can become a scholar. And it was him that he pointed to. It was he that he pointed to. And now, as an expression of my gratitude to this person, because he was instrumental in my becoming who I became, I want to learn his Torah. But I don't have his sefer. You have his sefer. Can I borrow it from you? And Reb Chaim tells that he lent him the sefer. And when he came back from the Levaya, after Rabbi Michal Yehuda passed away, he went over to his shank, you know, to his, what do you call it, the drawers, or the, not drawers, what's it called?
The library?
Yeah, what do you call the shelves?
Bookcase.
We'll call them shelves, is that okay? Okay, so the shelves, he went over to his shelves on the bookcase, and he looked for that sefer. And he decided to learn that sefer. This is Reb Chaim Kanevsky. And why? Because as a result of the author of that sefer, we had a Reb Michal Yehuda. And I owe so much gratitude because we had a Reb Michal Yehuda. And therefore, I want to study that sefer. And what we see from this whole story is that Hakaras HaTov, to recognize and appreciate goodness, can be a whole string. It doesn't have to be, well, he did something for me. I mean, in the case of Rabbi Michal Yehuda, who wanted to express his Hakaras HaTov and learn that sefer, he had no connection to the author of the sefer in the sense that he never met him, he didn't know him, but just that his father would point to him and say, you become like him. I mean, just like he didn't have a father who was such a great scholar, but he became a scholar, you too can do the same. And that inspired Rabbi Michal Yehuda to become who he became. Such a great giant in Torah. Now Reb Chaim Kanevsky says, I too owe Hakaras HaTov to the author of this book, because he was the one who, again, unbeknown to him, inspired Rav Michal Yehuda, and hence we have Rav Michal Yehuda. Therefore, I want to learn his Torah. So just to summarize, whatever we got to learn tonight, again, the flip side of your page is just an introduction to Pesach from the Pele Yoetz. We see how important it is to express Hallel to Hashem. And we said that it has the power to bring more chasodim. We said that it applies even to the agent who brought you the food, or the butler who poured the wine. If you appreciate the agent, then you'll appreciate Almighty God, who's the real source. And then we pointed out that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he did tshuva and a tikkun for the Oz Bosei El Paro, and he said Oz Yosher, what he was pointing out is that now at the end I can begin to understand retroactively all that happened to me, and that's what all that happened to Klal Yisrael, and that's what the Pele Yoetz says, that even if we have Yisurim, we should still thank Hashem. And we saw that in Rabbi Yonah, the way he interprets the psukim, both in Yeshaya and in Tehillim. And we saw that Jews never are poor people, but if you see the positive and you thank Hashem for what He granted you, in the case of a family that could sit down at a Shabbos table together and so forth. And how far does Hakaras HaTov go? How far do we have to appreciate? To appreciate even someone who's unaware of the fact that he is being a tool, he's playing a role, and he's instrumental in having a positive, inspiring influence on me. See, Ratzon, as we end, we should hope as we get close to the Pesach and we prepare for the Leil HaSeder, this concept of Hallel should be very close to our hearts. And if we express our gratitude to Hashem from the depths of the genuine heart and our feeling, hopefully we'll be zocha to have other great chasodim chadoshim, that'll save us from all our enemies. Ken Yiratzon.
Amen. Can you just finish with Purim? We're grateful that we were saved, and you can go through all of the holidays in the calendar year.
Right, but I'm up to Pesach, so I'm not. If I would talk about Purim now.
No, but I'm just saying it's not relegated just to one.
Yeah, if I was talking about, you know, before Hanukkah or before Purim, I would have given you the same shiur. But since I'm talking before Pesach, I thought I would talk about that course that told me it's Yitzhak Mitzrayim.
Yeah, but it's apropos throughout the whole year.
Yeah, but again, this idea of Sipur, that's a unique halacha in Pesach. We don't have a Sipur in Purim or Sipur in Hanukkah. And what's the nature of the Sipur?
The Megillah.
Right, but the mitzvah of Sipur, you know, kulanu chacham, kulanu zkenim, and yet there's a mitzvah of Sipur. Well, what's the point of the Sipur? Well, what am I teaching? What am I transmitting if you know it all? But the answer is the Sipur is inherently meaningful because in the secret itself is the secret weapon, that secret power to bring about the chasodim.
Also